The Public News Service Daily Newscast for August 17, 2022. I'm Mary Sherman. A major legislative victory for President Joe Biden and Democrats as the Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law Tuesday. The bill, which has been a year in the making, allocates over $300 billion for investments in energy and climate reform, but it falls short of what some Democrats and environmental groups had originally called for. As Edwin J. Vieira reports, many are hoping he will declare a climate emergency to provide further funding.
That would allow for additional provisions to fight the effects of climate change and reduce fossil fuel usage in the U.S. New York State has been seeing the effects of climate change firsthand, since 45 counties, or three-quarters of the state, are currently under drought watch. Although this is the most mild of the four drought advisories, there are concerns climate change might only exacerbate future drought conditions in the state. Dominic Frangillo, with Elected Officials to Protect America, believes declaring a climate emergency is a major necessity.
To halt crude exports for crude oil, stop offshore oil and gas drilling, restrict international investment in fossil fuels, and to be able to accelerate the manufacturing and the homegrown jobs here in the United States.
1,000 elected officials have signed a letter urging that a climate emergency be declared on behalf of EOPA.
The Inflation Reduction Act will also make prescription drugs more affordable in the future by capping drug costs in a number of ways, including allowing Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices and limiting those paid out of pocket to $2,000 per year for people with Medicare Part D. Andrea Meyer is Director of Government Relations with AARP Oregon.
It revolutionizes the prescription drug market and will finally hold drug companies accountable for their prices.
Meyer says the Inflation Reduction Act has other provisions aimed at drug prices, including penalizing drug companies that raise their prices faster than inflation and capping copays for insulin at $35 a month for Medicare Part D beneficiaries. Now to Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis defends and expands his call to have military veterans bypass the teacher certification process to become educators. Former educators say the move is a dangerous gamble despite the current teacher shortage.
Retired teacher Ulysses Floyd is an Orange County Classroom Teachers Association member. He says he doesn't like the proposed changes because the certification process ensures you know what to do as an educator.
You must be certified in the area in which you're teaching, just because you have a bachelor in something else other than teaching. But I think in order for you to be able to teach, you must know what to do and how to do it.
Describing college education as overtaken by ideology, DeSantis argues the certification requirement is too strict. The state's new recruitment program will waive exam fees for the state's teacher's certification exam for retired military and first responders. I'm Tramel Gomes.
This is PNS. Nevada is set to lose 8% of its Colorado water allotment next year because of perilously low water levels at Lakes Meade and Powell, caused by the 23-year-long drought. It could be worse. Arizona will have to give up a whopping 21%, and the country of Mexico 7%. The states along the upper and lower basin were supposed to come up with voluntary reductions by Monday, but failed. Now Tanya Trujillo, Assistant Secretary for Water and Science with the Department of the Interior, says if the states can't work it out soon, the feds may have to impose their own solutions.
We will be asking our technical teams to develop a suite of options for us to be considering in the event that we need to take actions to protect the system, because we are truly facing unprecedented conditions in this basin.
The Southern Nevada Water District issued a statement saying that the agency should be able to absorb the cuts and that Nevada is in a relatively enviable position, because conservation measures taken over the last two decades have cut water usage by 26%. However, they still urge residents and businesses to conserve daily consumption, stick to the seasonal watering rules, and eliminate decorative turf. Americans suffering from hearing loss will soon be able to purchase hearing aids directly from stores, pharmacies, and online retailers without a prescription. The FDA cleared the use of the devices over the counter, which should help lower costs. Officials say roughly 30 million adults in the U.S. could benefit from hearing aid use. And in other health news, a new warning about monkeypox virus. Health officials are advising people infected with the virus to stay away from household pets after news that a dog caught the virus from its owners. Here in the U.S., there are close to 12,000 human cases, including about 280 in Washington. We get more from Eric Tagetoff.
Dr. Mark Cook is medical director for gender health at Kaiser Permanente in Seattle. He says monkeypox has been known to medical professionals since the 1970s, but the virus has now begun a troubling trend of spreading from person to person.
The symptoms are fever, body aches, swollen glands, fatigue, and a characteristic rash, little round vesicles that can appear on your skin in many different parts of your body.
Cook says monkeypox is spread through skin-to-skin contact, and so the best way to prevent getting the disease is not to touch people who are infected. He says it's related to smallpox, but is much less severe. A vaccine is available, but it's in short supply.
And the White House announced $3.9 billion in student loan forgiveness for borrowers who attended defunct ITT Technical Institute. It brings the Biden administration's total loan forgiveness to $32 billion. Meanwhile, borrowers are still waiting to hear if a pandemic-era federal loan pause will be extended for a fifth time. This is Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.